Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This week in league, Michael Maguire relieved as the West Tigers board failed to find their fucking why.
From the penthouse to the shithouse, the Melbourne Storm can no longer afford free jet skis. They're reduced to offering free memberships.
Anthony Milford's claim he was kicking a bin is at odds with eyewitness claims he was kicking a dishwasher.
Plus, we look forward to all the action for the grand final qualifier, the 2021 NRL season.
All that more this week in league. Welcome to episode 436 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am a masturbating typer, apparently.
Look, the way I find out about these things is because I fucking hear about it when people are like, oh, who's typing on, you know, who's tapping the keys away, blah, 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 yeah, who's clicking their mouse, or, you know, all that sort of shit. Mm. So then I have to go back to the file and investigate. I'm like, oh, yeah. And because I've got three tracks there to look at, it's really easy to fucking isolate which one has the noise all over it. And invariably, in the year of our Lord, 2021, it's Glenny. So, cheers for that, Glenny, and congratulations.
Busy. I'm just busy. There's a lot going on.
Which is probably unfair. Seeing as I'm the one that sits here fucking drinking and eating and fucking around with stuff all the time.
Yeah. I just want to say that your use of your mute, like flicking the microphone up and muting, has saved everyone some very enthusiastic coughing episodes over the last 6 to 9 months that you've been sick.
Back in the day, it became a feature of this show, particularly through the colder sort of, you know, July, August period of recording. It became a regular feature of the show with Glenny sniffling and like one or both of us being sick for like 6 weeks during that period.
Yeah.
Now, because of the advent of COVID and the fact that people are separated and wearing masks and practicing proper fucking hygiene.
And the fact that Jay has had sick. AIDS for 9 months.
But Jay has late stage AIDS. At the moment, because if people knew how often he has to flick off the mic and just absolutely have a coughing fit in the background while we're trying to keep it together, saying what we're saying while he's like breakdancing in the fucking Skype window.
Look, I have a problem.
Yes,
not breathing while I drink. That's why my dreams of being an Olympic swimmer were never realised.
Oh, quality.
So, this week, we've got some news from the Tigers, finally. inserting it just to give Glenn something to talk about. But this week, there's actual news. And Madge, somewhat surprisingly, if you follow the media narratives, Madge is somewhat surprisingly being saved. His position is I'm not going to say it's secured, but everything that you know from the chairman is saying, look, he's got 2 years left on his contract, and we're not putting he doesn't have this proving period, or there's not this 6 to 8 week sort of trial where he's under enormous pressure. He has 2 years left, and we anticipate that he will be fulfilling the 2 years. Obviously, that sort of stuff is very, very flexible if they go 0-6 to start the next season. But
this year, what were Manly at the end of 6 rounds?
Good question. I'm not sure, but they only had they only had 2 wins though, so they couldn't have been far off the bottom. And they certainly weren't in for and against anyway. But I'd say they were probably getting off the bottom at that stage because the Doggies only won 3 games, and the third one was in the last round, so they probably weren't in the bottom, but. Yeah, but also there's the optics of where they were too, because sure, they were 2 wins and 4 losses and had a terrible for and against because of the first 4 rounds, but there was certainly a graph that was charting upwards where they had a narrow win against the Warriors, and then the very next week they beat the Titans like 36-0 or something.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get to is that it always amazes me that they'll go, okay, we'll give this guy another season. We'll give him a full off season with the players, but we'll only give him 4 to 6 weeks at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But he did say that wasn't what they were saying. Like he's giving him the season. He's not going to play, 6 to 8 rounds. He's not going to.
Yeah, the way game. He said it was, he was led down the path of addressing, or does he have a six to eight week sort of trial period? And he said, no one said that. No one's given him any guarantees. But I'm coming out and saying there is no 6 to 8 week thing. Yeah. And went on from there. But
which means these things they've said we can sack you at any time. And they haven't said we will make a decision within 6 to 8 weeks on whether you stay or whether you go.
Yeah, well, as far as they're concerned, at least as of yesterday, they've made the decision that he's staying, and at this stage that entails two more seasons at the top.
Yep.
Which is, it feels like this whole operation with Madge is something that is been trying to flush out moles inside the club or something as well, because the amount of mail coming out of the club through certain media people was that he was definitely getting the sack on Monday night, definitely, and then the board meeting never actually happened, and then it was revised and took place on the Tuesday morning, and then he was retained. So it always feels like it's like some sort of operation to say, okay,
tell five different people five different stories and see which one comes out of the media.
Now, what does the media say? Oh, he's definitely getting sacked. Okay, so we seeded that through this person, and that's the end of that. And the only real change, I think, based on their review, unfortunately for fans of Tiger Town, of course, it's got good news and bad news about Tiger Town. The good news is, They've maintained the main character. They've retained the main character for season 2, if it's going to happen. But unfortunately, much beloved minor character of the show, Wayne Collins, aka Snoopy, he is going to be gone for 2022. So unfortunately, he won't be back. Obviously, they keep Simon Dwyer there because they only had to pay him as a featured extra because he didn't actually have any lines. So. And I mean, Badge was probably the same, wasn't he? So
they sat Simon Dwyer down and said, "Mate, there's really no use for you here. If you can give us a good reason." And then eventually, they just sat there and nobody said anything. It got really awkward, and the Tigers didn't have the stones to sack a man.
I think he's more like
can't utter a word.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's one of those things where. He's just brain fucked them into thinking he is this absolute font of wisdom, because he's just just emotionless and doesn't say anything, and so
he's like a sure savant.
He's like the Silent Bob sort of character.
Please no.
Which would make Jay like. It would make that Madge, because I mean he's just like fucking.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But yeah, so Madge is back. So as a Tigers fan, Glennie, where are you at with it? How do you feel going into the next season?
I think it's the right decision. I'm just waiting to see. They've gone from all the speculation around Maguire's job to Snoop being the fall guy. Mm-hmm. And there will be more changes to the coaching staff, apparently. So I don't know where that leaves Ronnie Palmer. But I want to see the players be held accountable.
Yeah. Apparently in that interview they had with the chairman that I read today, there was talk about Luke Brooks, and it was that he's their guy going forward for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
He loves the club. Junior.
That's good. I love the club too. There. I'm not looking to put number 7 on my back every week.
He's absolutely determined. He's determined. He is absolutely determined to be the seven for the club going forward. And reports that he has not enjoyed his time under Michael Maguire and off base, they say.
Right.
As they paper over the cracks.
If he's kept his job and he's, I don't know. Does it mean he's got a bigger stick to wield now after three seasons of poor results?
Well, you've also got Sheenius coming back in there as well.
Yeah.
And it has been stated that they haven't really finalised the hierarchy and how it's all going to work. But it has been said explicitly that Sheenius, just by nature of his achievements in the game, his time in the game and his age, is going in there as like a senior figure.
Yeah.
In the coaching ranks. Coaching. So,
I heard that it was going to develop into a coaching director type.
Yeah. Role. Yeah. And
or head
and,
of football performance / coaching director. How the fuck has the board made the decision to bring someone of Tim Sheens's experience back to the club with no clear direction as to what role he's going to play? That sounds like horse shit.
But can I say, what's a coaching director?
Well, it's a guy that directs the coaches, mate.
Isn't that a head coach?
It's a guy who directs. It's a guy who directs the guy who directs the coaches. You just got to add another fucking layer on top of the cake.
Fucking Tigerception, Jesus Christ.
So yeah, and it's obviously if you are trying to play at Tigerception, then you know why not bring in one of the greats in the Sheenius.
Can't wait.
Great friend of the show.
Can't wait.
Gave us a lot of material.
Didn't he what?
Back in the day. Now, let's look at some other news stories that happened. Anthony Milford. We were so happy for him getting out of the Broncos. We were happy for the way that he showed some real form there at the end of the season. Mm. You know, providing a bit of hope for, you know, potential resurrection down there at the Rabbits. And unfortunately, though, he found himself in a bit of trouble in the early hours of the morning. An assault incident. I believe he's been charged with 3 counts of assault occasioning bodily harm. And there was an altercation with his wife, allegedly. And then there's a situation that people saw that happening. And they sort of came in to, you know, intervene or, you know, see what was up. And he allegedly started throwing down on them as well. And the Broncos sort of released a statement that said, look, well, yeah, don't look at us. Mm. Like, whilst he is technically under contract with us until the end of October, his duties with the team have been completed.
What was that thing that his contractual obligations are completed and he's on leave until he takes up his new position?
Yeah. I mean, they've had their Mad Monday. The players are on holidays anyway. Yep. He won't be returning at the next pre-season training because he's going elsewhere, and that's that. So it's gone to the Integrity Commission and no doubt before the Popo as well.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the latest in a string of bad behaviour of the Broncos. I mean, we spoke about the Flegler and Jordan Rickey situation, and there's another one there with TC Rabadi allegedly committing seems to be quite a minor, it's a dangerous operation of a motor vehicle, where allegedly he was in the passenger seat of a car driven by his partner. She missed a turn in the valley, and so he grabbed the steering wheel and tried to complete that turn for her. swerving dangerously on the road.
TC's driving school.
Exactly.
Jumped on the passenger brake.
Yep. And so that was that. So, yeah, not a super serious one. But, gee, they've been hit with a couple of incidents of bad behaviour over the last month. What else have we got here? The Dally M Awards. We had the first of the big two-parter Dally M Awards. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you guys didn't watch it.
Correct.
Weren't we recording?
We were recording for much of it, yeah. And
that's a fucking great limb you're out on.
Well, you know, who might know you, what you've got running on your second monitor while we're recording.
I'm sure you could take an educated guess.
Yeah. I probably could, but I'm gonna politely decline to have that guess.
I believe the website in question starts with E and ends with fucked. Now,
no, it was actually educational material to better myself.
That's what the E stands for, yeah?
Yeah. It's like e-learning, except different.
learning via your dickhole.
Wow.
Okay, Glenn, geez, we have to drag us into the gutter, mate. Now, they had the first half of the Dally M's, which mostly revolved around giving the No Shit Sherlock Awards, such as the top try scorer, the Ken Irvine Medal, which went to Alex Johnson. The top point scorer went to Ruben Garrick. The Tackle of the Year went to Xavier Coates, which was the one where they were playing the Rabbits. Gay guy intercepted the ball, and Coates was the guy that eventually got to him and sort of crock rolled him over the touchline, like centimeters out from the try line, which was fucking amazing. So very well deserved. And unfortunately for the Broncos, he'll be doing that for the Storm from here on in. The try of the year was Tommy Turbo, which was the last try that Manly scored in the last game of the season. The length of the field won after the siren against the Cowboys, started by Ruben Garrick deep in the in goal. And the VB hardest working player of the year was Isaiah Papali'i from the Eels. And look, I honestly don't care enough to fucking look into the criteria of what makes someone the hardest working player of the year. I assume it's the same metrics that they use for that stupid fucking stat that they interject into games every now and then, with the VB hard working index or whatever it is.
Does he get the hardest working player in the game?
Well, he's not working for 80 minutes a game.
No, that is correct. You know who does work for 80 minutes a game? At least his brain is working overdrive. Some would say to the point of complete and utter malfunction.
Can I put out here, no matter what you say here, it's going to be a disappointment.
Yeah.
It's David Nofaluma.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake. See? You had to go there, did you?
The amount of processing that goes through his brain for 80 minutes a week, none of it actually gets processed, but those wheels are spinning at an absolute frenzied pace. That's a lot of fucking hard work going on up there. He doesn't get enough credit.
I don't think there's any.
The whole point is
there is no hard work going on there.
No, it doesn't get not from on his the video brain. Sessions. It doesn't get not from his brain to his body, so he actually like
scoring a junk time try and then stretching out the logo on your jumper to the crowd is not hard work.
What about kissing the logo?
No.
That's not still not.
What
hard
about
work.
What about using your Twitter finger? To assign blame for your defensive inabilities on your A and B defenders and specifically Moses and Mbai. Is that hardworking?
Where's he going next year? Is he off to England?
Who?
Moses.
Mbai.
Dragons.
No, he's going to Dragons, yeah.
Okay, that's right.
He's going to kill it there.
Fuck.
Please. Without Noffa blaming him for everything?
Yeah.
But we also narrowed down some of the categories and we got down to the final five players in contention for the 2021 Dally M medal. Let's face it, none of these names are particularly a surprise, but we'll run them down anyway with DCE, Nathan Cleary, Teddy, Tommy Turbo, and Cody Walker.
There you go.
So from looking at the live count as they're going week by week, I think Turbo's got it covered.
Yeah, he should.
Based on the number of points that he's already sort of accumulated, I can't see the points for anyone else to get it off him. But we'll see how we go. I don't really have any thoughts either way on the actual process and splitting into 2 weeks. It's going to make the actual ceremony night, which was next Monday, it's going to make it probably more. It's going to be a lot more concise and not drawn out, I think.
Mm.
And that's probably not a bad thing, but
the Dally M's are unfortunately, we say this every fucking year. There's no consistency around who votes for what, as in there's a random assortment of cunts that have some association with Fox Media and their, you know, associated entities.
Oh, and the game in general, like, you know, whoever happens to be running the sideline for a, you know, like you've got your judges and they and you know, highlighted by the you know, some weird selections of points allocations, like, you know, famously Ryan Sims, was it last year?
Yeah.
Where there was a game there. So,
like, didn't watch the game and got awarded points or something.
Yeah, so. But, look, I mean, the names up there have all had fantastic seasons, and I'm sure that, you know, whoever wins, it's going to be, you know, very deserving. And it's crazy to see that some of these players up there, particularly Tommy and Cleary, are up there with
a number of games
out, you know, for the both of them. How many games is Cleary missed total now? It's probably about the same as Tommy, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, when you take Origin, into account, Tommy missed the first 4 weeks. Yeah. And then Cleary's missed, how many weeks did he miss out after Origin?
I think it was six.
He missed, yeah, so they're probably close to the same amount of games off. And Tommy had that extra one where he sort of sat out because of the cheek thing against
that's right.
Canberra late in the season. But, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who wins. And, of course, on next Monday we'll also get the team of the year guys and the coach and captain and rookie and that sort of stuff as well. Yep. So all good, and congratulations to the five people that got there. And, and of course, yeah, Daly's already a fucking massive winner after being included in that Foxtel, on that Fox Sports commercial, talking about the clutch players, and it goes like Jordan and fucking Ronaldo, like Kobe, Tom Brady, DCE. And I've said this in the Facebook group, and I am so happy. Look, I'm so that advertisement is a fucking gift in the first place, just because of just the amount of fucking triggering that it does on people. But the other gift is that they didn't put LeBron in there at all. So, because it's a common thing through, well, maybe it's not our main episodes, but definitely our member sides, that, yeah, LeBron has no business being in, you know, named in such talk. A lustrous, in goat talk, like, you know, he doesn't belong in the rarefied air that guys like, you know, Michael Jordan, Daly Cherry Evans, Kobe Bryant, etc. live in. So,
look, so, after that ad, I was shocked to find out that Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Ronaldo were all autistic fuckwits, because that's clearly what that ad was showcasing. And, you know, more power to them for being actually successful in their sports. So,
just like Daly, top five player of the year. How fucking good. I tell you what, we'd want to win the fucking grand final this year, considering we've got the top point scorer, fucking three of the top four try scorers, three of the top four try scorers, two of the top five players across the season. Now, finally, I think this is the final news, unless you guys have another news article you want to talk about. But
no.
We mentioned it in the lines at the start of the show, but the Storm, and while we joked about it at the start of the thing, it's actually a great thing that the Melbourne Storm have been overwhelmed by their, you know, their membership numbers over the last two seasons. And with their ticketed members over the last two seasons due to COVID, they've only had five home games in the last two seasons. So with the Storm having to shift to Queensland, originally they had to shift earlier than other teams in 2020 because Victoria was the, you know, the bat-infested hellhole that Sydney now is. So they announced they released a letter on Tuesday night saying that the next season was on them. With ticketed members who live in Victoria, they will get their 2022 membership for free. So they're going to lose money of it, they say. They're going to, you know, potentially millions of dollars, obviously, because ticketed memberships aren't cheap. But out of respect of the financial support of their members in the last 2 years, they've decided to do it, and I think it's fucking great.
Yeah, it's really positive. I think they've identified, you know, obviously a great way to give back to people that have shown support with their hard-earned, especially, you know, a lot of these people were still forking out for the memberships last year. And whilst Victoria was locked down for large periods of time. So certainly bring people's spirits up, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than you know, you've got to do something for people living in fucking Melbourne.
Well, you fucking do, or they'll protest.
Won't they?
They'll throw on the foot. They'll go down to Lowe's and get themselves a nice, shiny new fucking Hy-Vis.
Yeah.
And, and then go and invade the fucking Shrine of Remembrance.
Go and chant around Anzac ceremonies. Fucking, yeah. Look, Melbourne just continuously proves that anything to do with that state is fucking AIDS. And at our earliest convenience, we should just, you know, do what fucking God has been trying to do and either kill it with bushfires or earthquakes and just use it as a conveniently placed landfill or as, you know, a giant fucking car park. That's it. It's a fucking...
Or just plant a disease there. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about Grover. Grovered, if you will.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's been there for a while and hasn't killed them off yet. Hasn't done the job, has it?
Hasn't done
that
a
was COVID. Good, that was
to the surprise of absolutely 18. No one, it hasn't done can't a good move enough in a job.
Straight line isn't very ineffective.
Prelim finals this weekend. Let's get into the second prelim final. It's on Friday night at Suncorp Stadium, and I am definitely going to that one. The South Sydney Rabbitohs take on the mighty Manly Sea Eagles. The Rabbitohs side, no changes from their victory over the Panthers in the first week of the finals. The Manly side, it says here on the team list I've got, it says here there are no changes. However, I know for a fact that Brad Parker broke his hand last week, and so he will be replaced by Moses Suli. That is definitely happening. And they've got Kepi in 16 again. I'm pretty sure that given the immense success that experiment had last week, I'm pretty sure he's going to start and Marty will start on the bench. But otherwise, team's looking pretty good. You got Ashley Twine as the referee. Ugh. But look, no one's going to be happy with the referees this weekend. I mean, there's only two games. And you'd think that means that the chances of not getting a cunt are significantly higher because they're not spread across eight, but guess what?
Yeah.
Both of us, and I'm talking to you there, Jay, both of us have fucking, got a fucking cunt of...
Oh, thanks for clarifying, mate. Appreciate it.
You got Sutton. You got Sutton and we got Ashley Klein.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, not happy, but, yeah, it is what it is.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So, Glennie, you got some thoughts, mate? As a neutral person, I mean, this weekend we do have the golden opportunity for the first time ever. I mean, we got close-ish in 2011, but this is truly the first time that the grand final can be superseded by the Twill Cup.
Yeah,
it's the best opportunity we're going to get, I think, for a while. So
let's don't hope worry, it happens. Glenn, you're still a person.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not defined by my football team or their performances. Thank fucking goodness for that.
I beg to differ, but please continue. Give me your neutral look out. Give us your neutral outlook on this one, mate.
I think if Latrell was playing, I'd give South a much stronger chance. I think Manly can nullify what South will do, and I just think that South will just miss that big punch. And Trbojevic, as he showed last week, I think he'll be unstoppable, and I think Manly will win.
Nice.
I think this one depends very little on what Manly serve up. As in, they're going to go out and play the style of game they've been playing for the last couple of weeks. Dez seems to have his hands on those handling errors and has really minimised them in the game. I think this one's going to come down to the South Sydney attitude that comes out there. And by that I mean that there are two very distinct South Sydneys. There's the team that played Penrith in week one of the finals, and that team was staunch for 80 minutes, amazing in defence, merciless in attack, and just really ground out without ever looking like they were in danger. Then there was the South Sydney team that played Penrith the last couple of rounds of the regular season. And when shit got hard, Walker got frustrated. Reynolds was doing very little else apart from end of set kicks. He wasn't injecting himself midway through sets. And that got them absolutely nowhere. So I think the result of this depends more heavily on what South Sydney team we get go out there than anything Manly are going to do. They're going to go out there and Cherry's going to be controlled. Tommy's going to be, you know, fucking somehow bending the laws of physics that cunts can't see this 9 foot seven behemoth wrapping around the back and he just appears from behind someone and there's not cover for him. You know, look, Sully's a decent cover as well.
Yeah.
But
I rate Sully and Parker equal for different reasons.
Yep.
I think like Parker is mostly, you know, decent in defense and he's a reliable part of the he's great for the crash ball to suck in a number of defenders, you know, 10 meters out, and then the next play, you know, they can send it to someone else, or they can go behind him to Garrick and when Tommy wraps around.
The thing is, I feel Sully has a bit more of a defensive brain snap in him.
Yeah, he has better. He has more attack in him in the sense that he's going to trample cunts.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Campbell Graham's going to be, you know, just get trampled a couple of times. However, that trampling isn't necessarily something that's a great thing for the side unless there's an offload at the end of it and you can take advantage of the sort of half break that he makes from that.
Correct.
And he needs to be able to stay the fuck out of the way with whatever Tommy and you know, Foran are doing and, you know, sending it to Garrick or whatever they want to do. So then defensively, I think defensively with Sully, it's all about his attitude. And I know that the Polynesian boys in the club are fucking fired up to send him out, you know, with two wins, you know, and a ring, you know, before he leaves. So he's extremely popular member of the playing group, and those boys are going to be fired up, I think. So hopefully that infuses him with the attitude he needs to keep his head up for 80 minutes and on the fucking game in terms of the defense. Yep. And and also, you can probably take, even though he's on the other side of the field now, I mean, he can probably take a little bit away from the last time that he played Souths in a final as well, when he absolutely fucking trampled Gay Guy mercilessly in that game and was almost, you know, completely responsible for us being in that game. So, look, keep the mistakes down. Play like last week and keep low mistakes, a good start, and then anything can happen in this game. Kepi, I'm hoping that what he can do is get in the heads of some of the Rabbits guys and try and inspire that version of the Rabbits that you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
And because you don't want the Rabbits in that mental mindset where they're fucking dominant and everything comes off and they feel like they're unstoppable, because every side in the competition that's remaining at this point has this left hand devastating left side attack.
Yeah.
So every right hand side defense in the competition over the next three games is getting fucking terrorized.
Yeah.
And so they've just got to, it's going to come down to, you know, in part, whose right hand side can fucking stand up the most against what's coming at them, you know. I saw that with the Rabbits, although they don't have any changes to their 17. Well, actually, now look at it. They haven't named in the 21. I heard earlier that there was a chance for Mansell to come back in, but I guess he's not in the 21, so it ain't happening.
No.
So I remember reading earlier that that was a potential, you know, decision that Benny would have to come up with, whether he'd go with the experience of a guy like Mansell or the, I guess the youth or speed of Jackson Paulo. But I guess that's a moot point now. He's in there. And he's locked in.
Oh no, I get the experience thing, but Mansell, it's not like Mansell's not susceptible to having the fuck.
He also got kicked to death. He got absolutely kicked to death, and you can just imagine with a guy like Sully running at him. When Tommy when he's standing under a high ball, yeah. So, and of course, you know, Blake Taffy was like super fucking solid under some extreme pressure in week one. On some of those kicks, I mean, you say what you want about Penrith's performance, but I mean the kicking game was on point. Like he had to defuse some dangerous bombs that were sort of landing from a great height around the posts, and just right on the try line and things like that. So, I think Manly's got a decent bench. I think the forwards, they can get over the top of them, and I think speed, the backs like line up pretty well. I mean, obviously just the left hand side of attack of the Rabbits is fucking amazing, and so Saab and Harper are going to have to on their fucking game, but I think we got some points in us as well, and I think of all the teams left, the Rabbitohs are the ones that are the easiest for us to score points against.
Yeah, that's probably
so this week I feel, I'm confident that we can be in the game.
Yep.
And like as I said on Monday, like I think we've achieved par. This is top four, final four is a great result for this team, but I think they can fucking take it further. So get in there, boys. Next one. The first preliminary final, the Melbourne Storm take on the Penrith Panthers at Suncorp as well. This one's on Saturday afternoon, so as not to clash with the AFL Grand Final. And the Melbourne Storm side, the Fox is back in the side, and that pushes Lume out of the 17, and that is the only change for the Storm. Panthers, on the other hand, you've got To'o named in 21, and it is, I don't know if he's quite ready to roll again. If he doesn't make it into the side, it's a big issue. I mean, like, Naden played well against Parramatta. He had some great moments, actually, but Naden on his best day is not fucking carting the ball back through three guys and getting 200 meters of return yardage in a single game. It's just so fucking important, especially against the Melbourne Storm side that's going to be kicking them to death into the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And those extra 20 meters of return that you can get off of To'o are so important. The other really red flag for me in this game is Mitch Kenny obviously sustained that ankle injury.
Yeah,
in the game last week, controversy all around it with the trainer and everything. But his absence has introduced Tyrone May to the bench for the Panthers.
Which is the season. That's
that's it, you're gone.
That's it, yeah.
You're conceding because Tyrone May's in the side.
Yeah.
Glenny, give us your neutral outlook first. Before Jay,
I'm rocked.
Before I throw Jay an offload,
I'm fucking rocked by that comment. But anyway, that's it. We're done. Look, Melbourne with a week's rest. That game last week for Penrith. How much does it take out of them? Obviously, Kenny's out, as you just mentioned. If To'o plays, he's probably not going to be 100%. And there's a lot of players playing at this stage of the season that aren't 100%.
And Cleary, who knows? Like, it's an undetermined percent that he's at the moment.
It
did not look good at the end of that game.
Yeah, I will say I was interested to hear Jay's thoughts in the last episode about Cleary's shoulder. Is that a general feeling in the sort of fan base that it is that much touch and go with his shoulder?
I don't think it's a feeling in the fan base. I think people that watched the game saw how he was at the end a couple of times. Word from inside the club is that it's not great.
Yeah, okay.
And for a player who, was only realistically very recently back, and still finding his form.
But he's also not a half that hides in defence either.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't shirk his responsibilities there.
No, 100%. And it doesn't take away what he can do with his boot to a large degree, but there's going to be some issues with him wanting to push it.
Yeah.
And here's the whole thing. That's how I did mine. Tell me how confident you would be if you had half a bung shoulder putting massive effort and throwing a long cutout pass with it.
Yeah. certainly wouldn't want to be fucking trying, putting in a position where I've got to tackle Nelson Asifa-Solomona.
Yeah, that's
who
it.
Who just happens to be trying at me.
So everything you've said is true. The Melbourne Storm are the benchmark in the competition.
They've had 2 weeks to rest their guys who may have been feeling like that. Remember, Munster was only just into the side again in the first week of the finals. He's had 2 weeks to get himself 100% or whatever.
Yeah, and the game last week, Glenn, as you alluded to, took a massive toll on them.
Mm.
This is going to need a mammoth performance. A la last week where they just kept showing up for 80 minutes. I can't remember the amount of times that I was thinking to myself last week, they're gassed. It opens up here. They've got nothing left. They are fucking gone. It opens up here. And they just kept getting it done. I'll beat a very different opposition this week. It's possible. It's not at all fucking likely. I think when you add up the removal of To'o, the constant reshuffling of that back line, clearly not being 100%, Kenny gone, they would need it for it to be a perfect storm to win this week. Well, I think they have it in them again. I just don't think it's likely.
Yeah, it's like you can't even really rely on, you know, like a fortunate occurrence like a Storm player, you know, getting injured or something through the game to throw them into disarray, because when you've got Harry Grant sat there on the bench and you've got Nicho Hynes sat there on the bench, there's any number of reshuffles that they can probably do on the fly
and
that
just
still keeps them super effective. The big things about this game, I think, is the Storm, when they get those half chances, they're going to take the opportunity and finish them off and turn them into tries.
Yep.
They're also going to create more of those half chances, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Than the Eels do. They've got their attack is far more potent than the Eels.
Yeah.
And I just worry about, you know, you're just going to have guys like your Nelsons and your Jesse Bromwich are just going to be fucking running at Cleary.
Yeah, exactly.
Without mercy for the entire game. And I just hope that the game's decided by, you know, it's just the game. It's a game of football where everyone does their bit and one team does it better, rather than like a situation where Cleary's just fucked out of the game straight away.
Yeah.
You know, because then you've got Tyrone May and...
Yeah, I think the difference, I said in the last episode, where Parramatta didn't have that punch in attack. So their forwards muscled up and got to a point where they created enough space for the backs, but outside of Moses, they didn't have enough. You know, Gutherson didn't bring enough to the table to create those chances. But I think Melbourne have the capacity to do the same thing physically through the forwards, but then
their backs
with more space and more time are far more potent and far more dangerous than what Parra brought to the table. So
that's it.
I agree. I think Penrith can do it. But there's a few factors that you have to consider aren't looking like they're going to go Penrith's way.
That's it.
In this game. So sorry to say, I'm going to have to tip Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm sad to say as well, because I'd much rather have a Manly Panthers grand final.
Yeah, just for it would be great.
Just for the boys.
It would be great, but
you know, if we got a 40-0 these cunts again, then so, you know, so fucking be it. Done it once and do it again. But I feel like the Storm are going to win convincingly, and I don't mean they're going to win by a shitload of points. But I think it's going to be this game where the performance is there, where it just feels like they're not in any real danger. They're kind of in control the whole time. Yeah.
And I think Melbourne had their shit the bed moment a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
They had it at the perfect time, the wake-up call at the perfect time. Yeah. And, I mean, I'd like to think that Manly had the wake-up call at the perfect time too against the Storm a couple of weeks ago. But the Panthers haven't really had that moment. They've just been scraping by.
Yeah.
And because the South game, despite whatever Penrith did, I mean, the South game was still a fucking one-score game.
Yeah.
You know, And that's the real thing that I worry with the Panthers. I've got supreme confidence in their defense and their commitment in defense, and nothing's going to happen easily in terms of scoring points for the Storm. I get that. But the problem is that you just got to take your opportunities when you get them. And I still think they're kind of head fucked in attack a little bit.
Correct.
And I don't think Tyrone May is going to be the fucking medicine that fixes that.
No, he is not.
So, but everyone, I can speak for everyone in the community and the Twill Nation community that they're hoping the Panthers get there.
Look, every decent human being will barrack against the Storm.
Yeah.
You know, because the Storm are essentially the rich private school kids of the competition. You know, and their fans will go on about, oh, why do you keep talking about cheating? It's in the past. Why do you talk about the past? Well, that's how all Storm fans talk. But what I say to them is that...
That's the Melbourne accent, I believe.
Yeah. It's so long ago. Why do you bring it up all the time? And give me a potato cake. But essentially, it's like having two kids. You know, they both go through school, and then they both go through university, and they get exactly the same marks. They end up at the exact same university course, and they get the exact same marks, and they both go into the exact same career in the exact same industry. However, kid A, their family owns 5 properties. And then they inherit those 5 properties, and child B, their parents own nothing, and they're just earning what they get off their own sweat and hard work. In 10 years' time, all things being equal, things like not Johnny Mannering yourself or Brett Dallasing yourself, which one of those kids?
Yeah, I think Brett.
Is in a better position.
Brett Dowsing is probably more
in life.
Yeah. So you're saying that the child that grew up without anything and has more of a work ethic or desire to
The compounded benefits of ill-gotten gains
mm-hmm.
continue to manifest well down the line.
Are you sure that the rich kid in your scenario? Are you sure that he doesn't just put it all up his nose?
Yeah, but even if he did. The rent money he gets in from his 5 properties keeps him going.
Well, yeah. I see. Oh, he's inherited those properties.
That's
right.
It.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay.
He's too big to fail now.
Yeah, right. And you're saying that's where the Storm are at the moment?
Well, essentially, that's what the Storm are. Because they cheated so convincingly for so long, those gains led them to a place where they retained talent illegally. That talent has begotten more talent. So essentially, this is the compounded advantage of cheating.
Sure, and they might have had, when the whole cheating thing came out, I mean, sure, they might have had to knock the shed down. And
they might have had to pay a tax bill. Oh, yeah, ATO. Yeah. Oh, a bit of extra tax this year. Okay. We're very sorry. Can we go on a payment plan, please? Interest-free tax office? No worries at all. So, and the fact that Melbourne fans don't actually see this and understand this explains why people in that state often take their medical advice from tradies. It's even worse
than tradies.
State.
People who cosplay as tradies. they can't even be fucked to dress up as a character from Demon Slayer or something. They just fucking go down to Lowe's and grab some Hy-Vis and chuck it on and fucking, hey, look at me. I'm Bob the Builder.
I've got a fucking flare.
Give me some
horse
paste.
Look, bro, I've got a fucking flare. I'm letting my fucking flare off.
Ivermectin shed my colon.
Exciting news down here in Australia, folks. Our friends at Manscaped just launched their 4th generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard it right. It's 4.0 now, baby. Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming, have done it again to make your grooming game next level. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new Performance Package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION.
unheralded benefit. Everyone that has your Manscaped products, what I advise you to do now is go to your bathroom, put your hands in the air, and use that miraculous 4.0 on your underarms. We talk a lot about how your balls will thank you, or making sure your mum doesn't choke on pubes, all these things. But one of the unheralded advantages is how much fresher, cleaner, and less stinky you are with smooth as balls, literally, armpits. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. That 7,000 RPM motor makes your life cleaner and smell better. Get on it, you stinky fucks.
You can seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their crop preserver, ball deodorant for leaving the house, and crop reviver ball toner for a mid-game ball check. I use these. I came out into the house, gave my wife a little kiss on the cheek in the kitchen. Still have my towel wrapped around me because I'm fucking bang up for the sexy times in the kitchen. She said, "You smell so fucking good. So good." She said, "What deodorant? What cologne are you wearing?" Said, "Babe, it's my balls. Do you want to have a smell?" She declined politely, but I can tell you, your missus might just say, "You know what? I'm just going to have a little whiff. Whip them out. Let me have a little whiff." And the crop preserver and the reviver, just the sexy time will be coming your way. You can thank us for it later.
How lucky are you that you didn't walk into the kitchen and she went, "Have you been to see Nate?"
What do you smell like, Nate's balls?
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION at manscaped.com. That is 20% off plus free shipping with the code TWILLNATION at manscaped.com. Throw it in all caps. Your balls have been through enough this past year. Treat them with the best tools for the job from Manscaped. Let's open up the mailbag, folks. And this week we'll start off with Troy actually providing some value.
I'll fucking
stop.
For
the first time.
Look, I'm fucking shocked.
I've never seen a Troy provide value for anything.
Hey, has he not slid into your DMs and provided some value?
Well, apparently it's yours where that's happening. he says, "Gents, given the furor around the Penrith trainer and stoppages in the game, is it a no-win for the NRL? The refs and the governing body have come under fire for not doing enough to protect the players, but when changes were made, it has resulted in many suspect calls by all clubs in relation to stoppages and interchanges. Is there a solution to this drama?"
I think if they try and find a solution, the clubs will just keep gaming the system because that's what they do, to try and find any advantage along the way.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a real process. The problem with the Penrith situation that last game was it was a real process driven system. You know, there was an established process which they didn't follow, and so the NRL was forced to act on it. I mean, it was obviously a mistake on from Klein at the time on the field, which, you know, whether it had ramifications or not, I mean, it probably did, you know, deny Parramatta of some momentum during one of their final attacking raids in the game. And the game shouldn't have been stopped based, you know, A on the injury and B on the fact that the trainer, yeah, made his assessment from the sideline. And I think it's only... Yeah, and he's had to answer for that assessment now with, you know, by being suspended for the rest of the year, and with a nominal fine coming the way of the club. Mm. So look, I think no matter what the system is, there's always going to be a way to game it. And so look, I don't think it's a no-win situation so much because I don't think that these stoppages happen that much. This last one was the most prominent one.
Again, here's the thing. this is a perfect storm, right? So if Penrith had not fucked up four of those other tries earlier in the game, no one cares. At its base fucking level, its base level, the issue is that the belief is that a trainer must make a proper medical assessment before requesting stoppage of a game.
Yep.
What's happened here is the trainer has, and if you read what Penrith have written about it, essentially believes they have just seen a player break their ankle, which they will then go on to see to show that, you know, as of whenever it was the next day, that his ankle was the size of a fucking volleyball and his toes had turned black. So that trainer witnessing that event happen had reason to believe that there was a snapped ankle out there. But the trainer didn't stop the game. The touch judge still has to signal to the referee and the referee still has to stop the game.
Yeah.
So I have no fucking idea why the blame's coming back on the Penrith trainer. If he's thinking someone's broken their ankle and he's running out there going, fuck this, stop the game, stop the game, stop the game, he must believe that that's a proper medical assessment, that if you've seen someone break their ankle, shit needs to be looked at. You know? At the end of the day, if the touch judge doesn't tell the referee to stop the game, if the touch judge says, you need to wait till you're out there and look at him, I'm not going to tell him to stop the game until you do that, none of this shit happens.
Mm.
None of this shit happens.
Yeah, okay. So the NRL side of things is saying that trainers mustn't signal to the referee to stop the play until an initial assessment has been performed, which was not done. And then it comes down to what your definition of serious injury is as well, I suppose. And I assume that the Panthers, you know, maintain that a suspected broken ankle is a serious injury.
But hang on, no, to go back from that, and this is why the NRL thing's bullshit. It was the touch judge that signaled to the ref to stop the game.
Yeah, but that would have been because the trainers said to the touch judge to...
Exactly. So if the trainer has said that to the touch judge, why is the touch judge signaling to the referee when the trainer's still running onto the field?
Yeah, they shouldn't have, the touch judge shouldn't have taken it from there. They should have stopped it, you know, nipped it in the bud or whatever.
Correct.
But yeah, so I guess they've got to respond to the breach, and they've still got a couple of days, I think, before, you know, to actually respond to that breach. But it looks like Green's out there for the rest of the season. So, Stephen, here's another incident from the game. I have a possible solution to the Fergo injury fake incident. I'm not sure if a penalty can be reversed based on an injury being faked. However, I think they could easily judge such actions to be bringing the game into disrepute. In such a scenario, the penalty stands, but Fergo gets 10 in the bin and possibly a game or two suspension. Surely this wouldn't need to be enforced more than once or twice to stop the tactic in its tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you need to. I honestly just think for situations like that, you just go, well, you know, we're blowing a penalty because the situation, you know, seemed to be this.
The situation is not that.
But upon review, I mean, because there are heaps of times where a penalty is not given, but the guy stays down long enough so it gives the bunker an opportunity to have a look at things, and often they'll be just like, nope, just get up and play it.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't see nothing in there, get up and play it. So I don't think anyone would have a problem with them saying, no, there was nothing in that. The penalty, we've overruled the penalty from the on-field referee,
mm-hmm.
and it is instead just, you know, get up and play the ball. Stop milking your fucking sook. I don't think you need to go towards like the whole thing, like removing the penalty and then giving it the other way and then, you know, sending guys to the bin and all that sort of stuff, because I just think if you're not rewarding the behavior, then the behavior stops. You know, simple as that. I mean, they're gonna stop doing it if the milking's being reviewed by the bunker, you know, in real time, and it's not being rewarded with a penalty. Or it's being punished with the penalty being removed. This was something I actually want to talk about.
If someone does go down clutching their neck, they assume he's milking, and then he reveals that he's got vertebrae damage or something like that. They'll be fucked then.
Well, if you've got vertebrae damage, I would suggest don't jump up like a fucking... like you're perfectly right. Okay, you're once right, the whistle blows, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Terry, this is something I wanted to bring up during the Penrith game, but I forgot, so I'm glad he's written this. With Fisher Harris either injured or just out of form, should Ivan rotate him to the bench and start with TPJ? And my question that I wanted to ask you when we were talking about the Penrith thing is, what the fuck's up with Fisher Harris at the moment? So,
man, I think it's just been a long year. Hey,
he wasn't terrible though. No, he wasn't. I mean, he still got like a, you know, over 100 meters, and
yeah,
I mean, he did his job, but he just wasn't as rampant.
And his first exchanges, in his opening stint in the South game,
yeah,
I didn't have major problems with that. I thought he was ripping.
But he's that guy who, you know, he has those matches where he's outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. He's a leader on the field. But on his worst day, what he's going to do is run up against somebody, because he's not physically intimidating. Like, if you look at his stats in terms of his height and weight, he gives away a lot in both categories to a lot of the guys. And Parramatta's forward pack are big. They're fucking big. But he will go out there and he will throw himself at them again and again and again and again. I think it's more around the fact that he seems to be doing a bit more of it by himself. You know, because the edges aren't as dangerous, Penrith aren't doing that thing at the moment where they're going to have three cracks at you from the side each set. So they're resorting to a little bit more of that vanilla set construction.
Yep.
And there's just more opportunity to shut him down early. So, yeah, I'm not sure he's exactly out of form. But again, like, fucking go and throw yourself at a brick wall for 80 minutes once a week. And then after 26 weeks, see how much you feel like doing it or how enthusiastic you are about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be right this week.
John says, with Toto named 21, the Edwards captaincy, players in moon boots, general soreness, etc., is Ivan trying to get his hardest to get Melbourne to write off the Panthers?
Yeah, I don't think that's Ivan's go.
Ivan's tried the mind game things 2 weeks ago and came off second best.
Yeah, that's it.
Spectacularly. I don't think a mind game coach is really in his...
Yeah, again, last year when Penrith had their dream run, they had that blessed year where they were as injury-free as you could expect any team to be.
Yeah.
You know, Melbourne have it at the moment where they had injuries... They had spectacularly talented cover, you know, and they were long-term injuries that allowed that to really solidify. I just think there's fucking players that are hurt, to be frank.
Yeah, seems to be very Penrith flavored though so far this mailbag. But here we go.
As everything should be. Everything's fucking better.
From Chris, if Penrith lose on Saturday, is the season considered a failure?
Not at all. Not at all.
Why?
Again, the fucking sacrifice that that team made to wrestle State of Origin back to its rightful fucking owners, and then look what the rest of you sorry cunts did when we didn't give you Cleary and Luai for game 3. You know, that's why you can't have nice things, you fans of other team fucks.
Glennie.
But essentially, again, with the injuries that they've had during this season, with the disruptions that they've had, you know, backing up from such a successful year last year, the complete relocation to Queensland, Appy Coruscant playing the second half of the season without a scrotum.
I was going to say without a wife.
Yeah. Well, look, there are some things that used to dangle between his legs that now sit in her handbag, not metaphorically. Not metaphorically. But, again, like you said, Nate, to make the top four, you finish in the top four. You know? That's par. So the season's not a failure. There are a couple of things I would have liked to have gone.
You're top two, though. You're top two, though, so you've got to actually make it in the final two.
No, not at all. So
that's par for you.
But... There's still room to build for next year. The talent pool's a little bit slimmer next year, so they're going to have to work a little bit harder with some of what they're losing to get fucked up at Canterbury. But, yeah, in no ways I think the year a failure.
I wouldn't see it as a failure, given how deep they've gone into the finals. But I have concerns over Cleary's ability. If they don't win the comp this year, I doubt Ivan Cleary's ability to get them over the hump mentally. And I think they're a fantastic side, and they have all the potential, and I've said this to a few people, they've got all the potential to have a fucking dynasty for many years, and one that we haven't quite seen before, given how all these blokes have played together since so many of them played together since they were 15. The willingness that those guys will have to continue to play together and probably take lower price deals to stay at Penrith. But is Cleary the coach to get them mentally over the hump if they fall short this year?
That's well, you got to remember as well that before Cleary had this generational assembly of juniors that had played together since they were fucking fetuses arrive on his lap, he was like a fucking 47% career coach or something.
Yeah,
his coaching has a lot to do with this side. Certainly, I think it's 20% of it compared to 80% of just having this generation. Yes.
Someone has to take crop of kids
that have all come, that have all matured at the exact same time.
So here's
come
the thing: through the race together. If not Ivan, who?
That's my point. Well, someone has to take the onus, and you've got a young nucleus of kids that are going to have some mental fractures if they fall short again this year. That's my two cents. But
look, again, I think if. If coaches and sporting teams are good at anything, it's finding plausible deniability.
Mm.
And I don't think looking at having, one poor game against South Sydney is essentially the sliding doors moment for where they are. Because given that didn't happen, they're on the other side of the draw, they breeze through to the grand final, and all of a sudden it's, you got to the same place you did last year. Tough.
Mm.
Whereas at the moment, it's, your year was riddled with injuries to all of your major contributors, but you still fought back and did this. I don't think that's a hard conversation to have with the playing group. I actually think it would be harder if they'd have beaten Souths, made it to the grand final, if they'd have gotten beaten again. I think that would have definitely give them some fucking demons.
Mm.
But they'll be able to square this one up in their mental ledger.
And look, the thing with Ivan Cleary is that, for as long as their best player is at the club, I don't think Ivan's got a lot to worry about, to be perfectly honest.
Fair.
Shane said, is there a bigger fall from grace than Ash Taylor? $1 million a year to unwanted anywhere except as depth. Only one that comes to mind as similar is maybe Foran. Even MILF was good for a while before falling into mediocrity. Yeah, Foran was obviously, almost to the point of being medically retired. So, and Ash Taylor hasn't really had, terrible injuries to overcome, and nor did Milford for that matter. But it's a pretty it's a pretty big fall from grace. I mean, Milford's was a pretty good one, but he's sort of being picked up and potentially resurrected by Souths.
I think they're vastly different in that Milford's fall from grace has been predominantly based on his performances on the football field.
Mm.
Whereas Ash Taylor's fall from grace has been set up. He was a victim of that time period. That was the whole Ben Hunt is worth $1 million a year. Find a halfback that's half decent and throw seven figures at him.
Which I hate the fact that the player ends up being the one copping the flack, because what is the kid, what is the player supposed to do? Someone offers him $1 million, or his manager gets him a deal for $1 million and he's supposed to turn around and go, nah, just give me 500.
In a perfect world, fucking yes. Well, seriously, if I came to you right now and said, Glenn, I will pay you $2 million a year, but I want you to be the chief financial officer of Rio Tinto, and everyone's going to know who you are, and everyone's going to know what job you perform. Do you say to me, fuck yeah, I'll do that? Or do you say to me, look, let me go away and do a finance degree for 4 years?
I'm a little underqualified for that job.
But
Taylor's not underqualified to play seven in an NRL side, given he was already doing it.
But he was underqualified to be a $1 million a year player.
Like a franchise halfback, yeah.
You know, so yeah,
I'm sure he doesn't think that, though.
No, that's what you need to be a successful sports person. But
the thing with Ash Taylor is that he's currently in Toowoomba, surrounded by an echo chamber and of people that are obviously the same people that were pumping his tyres up before he got to the NRL.
You?
No.
At the fucking local carnival?
Absolutely not me.
But he's your only one you ever got right. I mean, he did play halfback for the Broncos for a minute.
He did. Jesus fucking Christ. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous fucking place for Ash Taylor to be, my point.
Everyone else will have no idea, but that was the most fucking stinging barb that has ever been delivered on this show.
Oh, fucking come on now.
He's going to be playing.
He'll play A grade here in Toowoomba. Travy Burns is still running around up here.
Fucking how good. He'd be killing it too in that level.
He still looks fucking fit, eh? Like, he still looks very fit. Ash Taylor, I'm not sure he's going to look very fit.
It is a big fall from grace in the sense that, he's gone from $1 million to nothing. To unwanted.
Yeah.
For sure. I get you. Now, where are we? Ryan said, if the NRL really wanted to punish Penrith, they'd force the trainer to play number seven instead of Cleary for the game this week. Well, yeah. Of course, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the trainer could catch the attention of the touchline referee, so perhaps he could replace Dylan Edwards because he's proven he can fucking catch something in the game. Where are we? I'll get these manly questions out of there, boys. Yes, Tommy Turnbull is amazing. We know. Here's one. This is from Nathan. He said, thoughts on Ollum being invited to the awards night because Munster and social media had a whinge. Did you hear about this? You know, you got your team of the year, and you know you've got like your center of the year, and Justin Ollum wasn't included in the shortlist of like four or five players that was going through for the award next Monday night, and social media and Munster have had a whinge. Why is he's one of the best centers in the game? Why isn't he in there? And the NRL's actually gone, oh yeah, whoops, our bad. You can come too. You're up for the award now as well. It really does make a Mossberg easy fucking stupid.
Yeah, I think the excuse they gave was it was an administrative error.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sure
it was. Biggest says, best case scenario, the podcast teams, asterisk, are in the grand final. If it doesn't, can I safely assume that the podcast will be strongly behind the Benji Marshall Dream Ring team?
Oh, fuck.
The podcast won't be behind anyone that's not our own team. How the fuck do you not know that by now?
Will our support for Benji to go out with another ring outside of the West Tigers?
No.
Well, if both of our teams don't make it, then we're looking at a South Storm grand final. What is the best case scenario there for us collectively? I think the only good thing about any of it is Benji perhaps that getting a ring.
Probably
right?
Be it.
I mean, I hadn't really thought about it before I saw that question.
Yeah, Adam Reynolds. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that before he goes.
Getting his final win in rugby league.
Yeah, that's it.
But if that happens, I'd be okay with it. I wouldn't hate on it, but I'm not sitting there wishing for it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. But look, it's a moot point anyway. One of us are getting through at least one of us are going to get through.
Yeah,
whoever that is. Yeah, let the bodies hit the floor. Matthew says, rumours of Gus and Pasco negotiating a player trade. So it's a question for Glenn. Would you prefer Brooks or Flanagan as your halfback and why?
Do you remember we had this conversation at Redcliffe, Nate? I'd still pick Brooks. I don't get the Flanagan Jr. hype. Don't get it.
And then he goes on to ask.
It also comes with the potential of Flanagan Sr.
He can be there instead of Snoopy. He's Flano. Get the fucking syringes ready. get some fucking peptides in the boys behind the post.
Fuck, I wish I knew the names of some peptides. Yeah. I found my Y. It's fucking YZ76. Fucking batch 2.
And he goes on to ask
Wybuterol.
And he asked myself and you, Jay, how good will Dewey look in the blue and white next year?
Look, when he leaves.
Sorry, you go.
I was going to say when he leaves and when their fullback leaves, that will be the West Tigers' final form.
Yep, they will cease to be in a fucking game at that point.
Imagine Gus Gould and Justin Pascoe at the negotiation table. My goodness. What a one-sided fucking bloodbath that would be.
It's like when you're negotiating with a toddler.
Okay, Gus, what do you say?
He's a West Tiger show bag.
It's got all our players in it.
Did you see that? Someone put that in our Facebook group today. The CEO of the Tigers had to do a fucking... photo op, and so he's got a team, like a framed poster of the squad on his windowsill. But it was that new; he hadn't taken those white cardboard bits.
Those
off
cardboard
the corner
corners, yeah,
of the frame.
Yeah,
it's tremendous.
Yeah. It's nearly that can't hurt you anymore, Glennie, for this year anyway. Nearly in a week or two. Finally. Anthony said, Storm offering free membership renewals for 2022 for all its members. How much money does this club have and how? Well, I think they've stated that, they're going to lose millions from this particular move. I think it's just I guess they feel like they've robbed millions from their fans for the last 2 years, given that they paid for ticketed memberships and they could only successfully deliver 5 of those, like 20 games, 25 games, I suppose. So they feel like they've given them 20% of their cumulative value over the last 2 years, and so now they're just going to, throw a year to make it all better and hope the bat flu pisses off and they can actually deliver some of those games, I guess. But, yeah, look, I think it's a great gesture. It's probably not the greatest move, in a business sense, but I think as far as sentiment and PR and everything like that, and just warm fuzzies from their core group of supporters being their ticketed members, I think it's a great thing.
Nice.
On that note, fellas, that is full time for episode 436. So thanks for listening, everyone. To find the links to our various social media communities, Patreon and more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And fuck, we did see some reviews come in for the competition, which going to be the winner of the review that we get over the next couple of weeks that we consider to be the best. They're going to take away a brand new Manscaped weed whacker. So to get rid of all those stubborn hairs that you find in your dickhole. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/TwillNation. Come join the fun, additional episodes, merch, and more to our wonderful patrons. And I just want to welcome a new patron, Josh, who is just top of mind because I just saw the notification come in. So thank you, sir. Now, tipping. Sumbak is on top by 1 point with 3 games left to go. Then we go back to a bit of a logjam there with Drew's drop kicks, Doohig, Wayne, J.S., Ben Diggity, M. Jonesy, Chev Mate, and Mitch Rich. And then rounding out the top 10, we have Mr. Bojangles and Dan Glenn Wang, 1 point behind. So we're 2 points from 10th to 1st with 3 games to go. So I think this weekend, We'll obviously it will decide it. I think because I think there's there's legitimate chance that both of the games could go either way.
Yeah.
This sometimes you get these rounds where it seems to be pretty much foregone conclusion. I mean, even last week, I think people would have picked both of those results, not anticipating the Penrith one would have been such a battle. Yeah. But I think that most people would have got 2 out of 2 that week. So, but this week, I think there's legitimate chances for any of the teams to win. So, it will definitely decide the finals. Do you guys have anything else that you would like to add before we pull the pin this evening?
Not at all.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, mate.
I'm a very polite person, Nathan. I said that about myself.
Aren't you just? So, I think we'll leave it there. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday. I think we'll get the net one out this week, I think. I think Sunday sounds reasonable. We only got games on Friday and Saturday this weekend coming up. So
that's it.
We'll talk to you guys then. I'll talk to you gentlemen then.
Later.
See ya.
Go Manly.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.